Hi, and welcome to the Pinball Podcast. It's a nice, just cold December day here in Utah. How are things going down there for you, Don?
Pretty cold and rainy down in Albuquerque.
You've had a kind of colder than normal temperatures lately, haven't you?
Yeah, it's been freezing constantly, but I don't know, not enough moisture. Yeah. Exciting weather talk to start off the show today.
Well, you know, it can be a concern in pinball. We actually had a pretty big windstorm recently, and I lucked out that my house is north-facing because it was an east wind, and my neighbor, well, a couple of my neighbors around the block from me who face east, their garages collapsed in, their garage doors. And if that had happened, I would have lost my whitewater because it's in the front of my garage near the door. So weather can have a big impact on pinball if you're not careful, I guess.
Yeah, that's good to know.
But enough weather talk. It's not it's not interesting, but anyway. So things been going all right within the world of pinball then? You been having an enjoyable time with your machines or any fun projects to speak of?
Yeah, actually a friend of mine ordered two machines from a friend of his up in Illinois. He got a Adam's Family and a Creature from the Black Lagoon, and he's a lawyer. He had a really big trial going on, so the machines got here and he couldn't touch them. He didn't have any time. So I went and set up the Creature just kind of as a surprise, and he got to play a couple games. So it was fun unwrapping that, and you know, I've never received a pin before, so it was kind of cool to see what went in to ship it cross country like that and how they come delivered and whatnot. And then I took the Adams Family over and set that up as well. And later on in the show, we're going to have some moving tips. One that I learned this week and some tips from previous moves.
Yeah, I've shipped several pinball machines. And I'm telling you, man, there's nothing more nerve-wracking than when you get that email from the person that you shipped it to. And you're like, okay, is it going to be, I got it, that's all right, or I got it, but... And yeah. Then on the receiving end, when you're cutting away all that mobile wrap, what you're going to find inside, it puts you on edge a little bit.
Yeah, it was a little interesting. And because they shipped together, there were some parts in different, you know, in the opposite machines. So it was a little bit of a treasure hunt there. But it was cool. Everything's working on the machine except the ramp on the Creature doesn't work. So you never really get that big loop on there. The drop ramp, so I got to figure that one out.
Yeah.
But other than that, it's a fun game. It's been, it's a game I've played several times, but not for a very long period. It's just a game here, a game there.
It's
nice to spend some time with it.
That's a great machine, just to walk up, play a few credits, and walk away from. It's just, if you don't understand it real well, you can still enjoy it.
It's funny, yeah. And the soundtrack's, you know, easy to recognize. Got kind of that classic rock, so...
Yeah, it's a great theme. So,
What about you? What's been going on in the world of pinball up there?
No new projects or purchases or anything like that. But around the holidays, you know, I have friends that come into town, and we always try to get together. And since I've been in this house and had the home arcade, it's kind of been the popular spot to meet up. And so, I had a pretty nice party just a couple weeks ago with some friends, and the pinball machines got quite a workout because I had one friend who refused to leave my house until he had scored a replay on all of my machines. And for most people, that's not that tall of an order, but some of them I do have it with the progressive replay setup where they get, you know, harder and harder. So by the end of the night, the last one he needed to try and get a replay on was the Bride of Pinbot. And it was, you know, a pretty high replay value, but he didn't finish his goal until just about 4 o'clock in the morning. And he was the one that was driving everybody home afterwards, so they all had to wait for him. And he refused to leave until he heard that knocker go off. And
you got some crazy parties. Usually at my house, by 10 o'clock, I'm like, all right, guys, finish up.
Yeah, we had to make a middle of the night in and out run because everyone was getting hungry and he was refusing to leave. So around 1 o'clock, everyone went and got like 5 bags of hamburgers and brought it back. And it was a fun party though. And then he came back a couple days later and brought his daughter and son, and they, you know, got the machines going again. And he owns a World Cup Soccer 94 that I sold him about a year and a half ago. And his kids got glued to the Lord of the Rings, actually. They really liked that one and the Attack from Mars. But so, but quite a bit of playing, but nothing as far as projects go. And my Whitewater is still waiting for me out there to do the restore. But with as cold as it is in the garage, gonna wait probably a little bit more on that. So,
well, maybe in the future we'll have to talk about pinball parties, different themes and ideas.
Yeah,
that's something. Every time one comes up, I'm like, oh, should we do a tournament this way, or, you know, oh, this guy's good, this guy's terrible. How do we get him to play together?
Yeah, I would love to hear suggestions on what people do, especially for leveling the playing field between kind of the guys who play a lot and those who just, you know, try and keep the ball alive, and that's all they're really focused on.
Yeah, so I'll mention it now. You got suggestions, throw them in there, because that sounds like an interesting show.
Definitely. Well, there's not a whole lot of news, being December and all, and pretty much all you really get in December is, you know, Stern trying to get their last machine out for the year, or but they're not the only ones this year.
No.
We've also got the new Canasta pinball came out in Spain.
Mm-hmm.
And that is now available, and there is a review up on Pinball News. They did a great job, as they always do, going in depth on, you know, the whole machine there, and you can check that out. But what are your thoughts about it, Don? What do you think?
Yeah, reading the review, I saw pictures about 2 years ago, so it's been in production forever.
Mm-hmm.
There's some really cool ideas. I kind of like the smaller decal. The decal doesn't quite reach the edges of the cabinet.
Right.
Just right off the bat. And, you know, you wouldn't get that edge wear that I'm always paranoid about. It might be easier to kind of touch up. The LCD monitor is 18.5 inches, but they put it right in the middle of the backless, and it's kind of neat. It isn't what I expected, but it kind of looks like a larger DMD. And the way they use it, let me see if I can pull up the picture, because I looked at it the other day. I guess when they're playing, they don't really use it. It's kind of just like even less used than a DMD. It's just scoring. That's all they use it for. It's on the same picture, but with scoring. But let me see if I can find the picture here. They had done some cool stuff with the diagnostics. The different coils, there's more options, game strategy, kind of the different records it totals up. You can set the music, the sounds, and the speech all at different audio or volume levels. Like some things that I haven't seen in other games before. You can also add advertising pages.
Yeah.
So there's different options for throwing ads in there. It'll mix in, I guess, all the games on attract mode. It doesn't really get into how it's used, but it just shows pieces of the menu. Of course, everybody's thinking about Jersey Jack and what's going to go on with the LCD monitor on Wizard of Oz. Have you seen the backlash on Wizard of Oz?
Yes, I have.
It's it looks like the monitor will take up a much larger space on the backlash of Wizard of Oz.
Mm-hmm.
And my wife said, oh, it looks so small when she saw the mock-up. And it was kind of what I expected, but seeing even this smaller monitor on new Canasta makes me feel a little more comfortable. And it's also got a web camera built into the back glass,
mm-hmm.
which is kind of a cool idea. So it shows you, I guess it takes a picture at the end of each ball, which seems a little odd. You think, I would hope it takes a picture when you're doing really well, but I know it snaps one at the end, and then it's got a running video of the player as well. That's kind of a cool idea.
Yeah. I guess the real takeaway I have, because looking at the layout, you kind of have a retro style thing. It looks a lot more like an early solid state type of machine with the way the mm-hmm. layouts, the drop targets, the spinners and such. but they have innovated a lot with different use of kind of more modern components to drive the thing. You mentioned the LCD screen, obviously. They use some LEDs for lighting. You know, Stern's been doing that as well. But some of the other things I thought were kind of cool is the shooter lane. It's a stainless steel lane. Mm-hmm. Now, that's something that I think some people might feel, hey, I like the wood look. That's the classic look. That's the way it's supposed to be. But you also have concerns of wear and tear with wood that you wouldn't have so much of stainless steel. You're going to get a very reliable product there. It's going to take a whole lot for steel to wear. but, you know, some people may prefer wood, but I thought it was a kind of a cool idea to at least try that. some of the other things that I saw that they had done that you know, were kind of smart is the entire OS that drives the game is on a compact flash card, which is, you know, obviously something you can easily update. I know with Stern you can plug in the USB keys now, but I mean, this is even easier than that. The connectors and everything, they all look real nice and simple underneath the playfield. It's about the most basic underneath playfield. There's not like a big nest of wires running everywhere. It's really tidy underneath that. Excuse me, my voice is struggling. But if you look inside the cabinet, they've gone a long way towards making it more accessible to work on. As far as, you know, how much more room there is to work on everything, and it's pretty cool. I mean, I'd like to see some of that stuff carried over into the other manufacturers.
Mm-hmm. There's even a big parts box right in the middle there.
Yeah.
When you were talking about kind of the new LED things, they've put LED strips in the bottom to like underlight the cabinet. Uh-huh. And right along the back glass, kind of like how Stern has the one fluorescent tube, this has a strip of LEDs. Makes it real, real tidy. I mean, that's a great word to use. It just looks very, very clean. Everything's out of the way. It looks like it'd be easy to replace. Just unplug and plug a new one in.
Now, what did you think of, did you see how the playfield is put together? With that, they call it the, what is it? The Perspex is this playing surface. It's like a, I don't know.
Plastic or something.
Yeah.
Plexiglass or something?
Yeah, it's some, you know, kind of a plastic plexiglass type of thing. But I guess they say it makes the ball move really smoothly across it because you're not dealing with grain and the same sort of imperfections that you get in wood. And then the artwork is printed on the bottom side of that, so you're not going to get wear on the artwork itself. Kind of a cool idea. I guess you'd have to get used to the feel of playing on top of plastic other than wood, but it would have to be somewhat similar to an automotive clear on that. It's a slicker surface, and it says that the ball glides on it more than it rolls, so you don't get as many crazy spin effects, but you get a lot quicker ball movement. So it would definitely be something strange, kind of a strange feeling to play that, and I'd kind of like to try it. It might be hard to get used to, and I don't know how much people are going to like it, but it'd definitely be an experience that I'd like to try.
I've played a game that used a similar idea. Jolly Park was a Spanish game.
Yeah,
and it's got a plastic cover over the playfield. It is different. It's like a piece of plexiglass or something.
That's right.
It definitely makes the ball feel different. I don't know if I like it or not. I mean, I haven't played enough Jolly Park to kind of tell. It is a very different feel. Kind of like the difference between Stern flippers and Gottlieb flippers or Williams flippers. I mean,
right.
They each have their own little quirks. I like the idea of them actually printing the art on the Persplex, though. That might make it a little brighter, because I know on Jolly Park, it just seemed like the art was kind of faded below the, you know, minute scratches in the plexiglass.
Right.
The playfield does look like it's built to last, though. Even in the lane dividers, they use, like, these solid triangles that look like they could really take a beating without, you know, snapping or wearing out. Also, you can wax around them pretty easy without getting wax cake up on them.
Yep. I don't know. Like, it's tough, you know, not being able to play one. I did play that Jolly Park at the Rocky Mountain Pinball Showdown. That seems to show up there every year, and it's a fun machine to play. Mm-hmm. But I'd really love to talk to someone who's got a chance to play it. I don't know if anybody out in the European area listening has got some hands-on time with one of these. But what was the pricing that you had been hearing was?
It's almost 4,000 euros.
Okay. So, that's steep. That's pretty steep.
Yeah, they were saying the price is kind of one of the issues. But with all the custom hardware and controller boards and all that.
And their first run. You know,
yeah, so. You can see why it's kind of high. So maybe, hopefully it does well, and you know, that'll help drive the price down as the parts become more common.
Yeah, and if nothing else, they've at least introduced some new concepts in design that, if they're good ideas, they'll carry over, and it'll just improve pinball as a whole. So gotta respect that they're trying some new stuff.
And I understand that selling a lot at a high price usually doesn't drive the price down.
But, No, they said this is what people are willing to pay. So yeah, that's new Canasta. There's a lot of pictures to go with that review up on Pinball News if you want to check it out. We'll link to it in the show notes. The new Mr. Pinball Price Guide is out, and I haven't had a chance to thumb through it yet, but it's always a nice little thing to have around. It's pretty informative, and they do a good job with that each year.
If you haven't seen one, it breaks down baseball games, bingos, of course, pinball machines. There's a lot of information, and I have friends that actually, they just throw it in their travel bag, and then when they play a new game, they'll make notes in the book, you know, oh, I like this one, this is a keeper, or didn't like this about this game. And so they keep that with them throughout the year. It is kind of, when the game pops up on eBay or whatever, oh, let me see what's going on with this.
Yeah.
It's kind of neat.
For what it is, it's one of the few publications we have left in pinball, so...
Mm-hmm.
Luckily, it's a good one, so you're not just supporting it for the sake of supporting it. It's actually worth buying. So, I guess next month or something when we can talk about it a little bit after. I'm sure you'll have yours by then. I'll have mine, and we can talk a little bit more about what was in it this year. Mm-hmm. Well, we talked about the new Canasta pinball machine, and Stern has also, since our last show, started shipping their newest game, which is Transformers.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't had a chance to see one in person yet. I've seen pictures and such. And have you seen one or talked to anybody who's played one?
I have not played one, but a friend of mine here locally played one up in Denver. He just happened to head into a pizza place, and I guess they had one of the test machines there about 4 or 5 weeks ago. He was not impressed with it. He didn't have a whole lot to say about it, just that he didn't really enjoy it. But I'm hoping they kind of got the bugs out. Also, with the LE shipping now, to me, it kind of looks like a different game. I mean, the too many play fields, all the different things they've added, they've really bulked up the actual LE games. And it's just, it seems like two different machines, kind of like the classic Batman and the, you know, or excuse me, the Dark Knight.
Right.
And the Pro Dark Knight.
Yeah, I'm hoping that the movie theater by me picks that one up. They put a Tron in, and I know they were looking to get another machine, and they might have waited to get Transformers, so kind of crossing my fingers that that's going to be up there next time I drop by.
Mm-hmm. But, it looks awesome. I really like the laser cut ramp, the steel ramp. It's just got some really cool features. He also said it felt kind of cheaply made, so I don't know. Where's that balance of using cheaper parts, but providing more features in the game.
Right.
Hopefully they're able to find a good median there.
And so that was that a actual sample machine, or was it just an early run one?
I think it was a sample machine. He played it. I talked to him probably 2 weeks ago, and he said it had been about 4 weeks before that.
Okay.
So kind of before they really started shipping.
Wonder if all the parts in there, were they going to be the same as what was going to come off the production line?
Right. I don't know. I really haven't heard many rumblings online about, oh, I love this or that. Whereas Tron was like, bam, everybody loved it.
Oh, yeah. Tron, I hadn't seen anything as positive about Tron since probably Spider-Man. Everybody got behind Tron pretty heavy. And like I said, I personally like Tron quite a bit. I think it's a fun game.
Cool game. Yeah, definitely.
But
so best of luck with them. I hope it's a success, and I'm surprised they haven't announced their next game yet, but I would guess soon, right?
Yeah, and it's pretty far along. I mean, they've been working on it for quite a while now, so maybe it's one of those things that they don't want to show it until they have something of real substance to put out. And I just hope that's not one of those things where they show it too late to make changes based on constructive feedback, but I think they'll know that they kind of know what they're doing. So
I think they're following the Jersey Jack model, and they'll just leak stuff little by little. We'll see, I guess.
I guess we'll see. I have no idea, to be honest. Kind of, things are in such changing ways at Stern right now, and the way that they're trying to be real active on the social networks and kind of having fun. So we'll have to wait and see what they do on this one, but I'm thinking we've got to hear something soon. I think they probably just don't want to undercut Transformers, as it's just barely starting to get out there, and they don't want distributor saying, you know what, I'll wait for the next machine. So
yeah, good point.
Give it a little bit of breathing room.
I definitely appreciate that Stern's getting out there and building more of a community and making it fun for everybody.
Yeah.
I'm glad somebody's out there doing that.
Yep, that's what it's about.
You kind of touched on it. They hyped up something the other day with a little teaser of a Legend of Zelda table.
I know, I wish that was true. I really do. I'm an 80s kid, so.
The illustration came from Drop Target Zine by Alec Longstreth. It's a little zine that comes out every other month or so. But in each issue, there's a centerfold. It's black and white, but the centerfold is in color. And each centerfold is like a dream machine. I think there have been two Harry Potter centerfolds. And I don't have them in front of me. I forget the others. But they're games that probably wouldn't work in real life, but they look really cool. They're very creative drawings.
Yeah. The funny thing about Harry Potter is I think it would have been a huge pinball machine. I mean, the franchise is so big. But I do think it's kind of funny the reason it ultimately wasn't made. It wasn't because Stern didn't try.
No. Oh.
It was J.K. Rowling thinks that pinball is, in her words, seedy.
Yeah.
So I guess she still kind of got an early 80s mindset on that. Late 70s when it was kind of equated with kids doing bad stuff.
Yep. The old Tommy vibe, so.
But, well, like you said, mentioned the Drop Target zine. We'll put a link to that so people can check it out. It's a droptargetzine.blogspot.com.
Yep, it's awesome, too. It's really, it's a high-quality little zine, maybe 30 pages or so, but it's a lot of fun.
Well, yeah, the great thing about it is it's different, you know? Mm-hmm. They talk about what's going on a bit, but it is its own spin. It's kind of what we need in pinball is some variety, and they mm-hmm. definitely bring a variety aspect to what they're doing. So definitely check that out, and we'll have a link to it. Like I said, I really wish the Legend of Zelda thing was real. I would I'd pre-order that one sight unseen. I don't know. I don't know how easy it would be to get that Nintendo license, even though Gottlieb did do it twice. What was the game that actually started out as The Legend of Zelda? And
Was it Gladiator?
It was Gladiator. Yeah. That's right. I kind of wish they had stuck with the original theme, but
yeah. It's all right. Well, Gladiator was okay, but a Zelda table would have been awesome, especially 80s. Of course, they probably would have done like the over-the-top art, but that would have been cool to have like the actual pixel art.
Yeah.
Or 8-bit art or whatever from the 80s. That would have been awesome.
The Mario games look nice. I think they did a good job with those.
Yeah. Very cartoony. They're a lot more fun to look at than they are to play.
Yeah, I've owned Mushroom World twice. And
oh, really?
It's in such high demand by collectors that both times I've just been offered prices I couldn't turn down.
Yeah.
But I love the art on it, the sounds and everything.
Is that the short one or the
full size? That's the short one.
See, the short one I didn't really enjoy as much as the full size.
No, the full size one's a better game. The short one's just novel, and it's fun putting the short, like setting it up so it's short. My little 2-year-old could play it. So.
Oh, cool.
But, that's it as far as news goes. Again, it was just kind of a slower month for that, but that happens every December. But also means that there's not really any events going on, but one thing worth noting is Steve Kordek. Turns 100 this month, and you know everybody has kind of been keeping their eyes on Steve since he had that fall, but he's been recovering well from what I understand, and he'll be excitedly celebrating his 100th birthday. And I'm pretty sure most people listening know who Steve Kordek is, but for those that don't, Don, who's the man?
He invented modern pinball, basically. He's designed hundreds of machines. He invented the flipper back in the 40s. He's been in the pinball industry for like 70 years or so.
Yep. And a lot of the great designers that we know of were either hired by him or he was a big part in keeping them around or mentoring them as they came up in pinball. If you talk to guys like Steve Ritchie and say, you know, who do you admire in the pinball industry, they all pretty much say Steve Kordek within the first name or two that they mention. So
Oh, yeah.
And he's had a big impact on all those guys' lives and careers.
Yeah, great guy. Happy birthday, Steve. He's got about a week and a half to go for the big 100, so maybe 100. We'll catch him on the, what is that, the Today Show?
Yeah, yeah, that's definitely, they do that. They talk about people in their 100. I'll have to catch that.
That'd be funny. So,
but definitely somebody that we all owe quite a bit to. If you enjoy the hobby and you enjoy it beyond just those early flipperless games and bingo-style games.
Mm-hmm.
But, well, let's talk about a couple of machines, or a machine and then a virtual table. But let's start with this month's featured machine. And I was actually really happy to talk about this. This was randomly chosen, and I happen to own this machine. And it's one of my favorites. It's the Bride of Pinbot.
Yep. And, the machine.
The machine, the Bride of Pinbot. That's indeed. Right. And we'll let you kind of jump things off. What are some of the notable things that you think of when you think of the Bride of Pinbot?
Sure. Bride of Pinbot, the biggest thing, of course, is the face.
Mm-hmm.
It's got four different faces, so four different little mini play fields that kind of swirl around. And, you know, each one's a attractive girl as she becomes more and more human. And that's the first thing I look at when I jump into the game. Like, man, how do I get to this different face or that different face? It's a game that I really like, but I don't have one on location. I rarely get to play it. And my wife loves it. The other big one is the Billionaires Club.
Yep.
I guess there's a billion point shot in the game.
Yeah, and it's to get to it, you have to go through all of the faces and then complete the last face mode. And then that once it's lit, you have to hit the ramp shot that's the right ramp. And it's awesome when you hit it. I mean, you can't help but to throw your arms up and mm-hmm. and shout a little bit. But it's also a little bit of chance, because once you complete all of the things, it's a chance for the billion thing to light. There's a kind of a random wheel that spins, and it has to land on that for you. But it's awesome. Once it lights up, it's kind of a tense thing, like, oh, man, I've got to hit that. It's just my one shot at it, and it's pretty great when you hit it. It's probably not the most challenging game out there, but it is one of the most, to me, one of the most satisfying games to play through, and see the completion. The effect when it does that shutdown and startup sequence is really, really cool. I don't know if you've ever seen that when...
No, I've only heard of it.
Yep. All the lights shut down. It kind of does a heartbeat, and, as she starts back up and she's alive, I guess you'd say, but... for me, some of the things I really, really like about the machine, obviously you mentioned the face, that's a pretty cool toy. I actually really love, I think it has the best light show in pinball. Out of any game I can think of, I think it has the best light show. It does some really, really cool stuff, especially the way the lights sync with some of the sounds and music in the game.
Wow.
The sounds are incredible. As you loop the right target, because when you hit the right target, it comes back to your right flipper. I mean the ramp, sorry. If you keep hitting it, it starts building up the amount of points that it's worth. And as it does it, the sound effect kind of gets a little bit more and more intense. And I don't know. The game is so cool to look at. And
it's a beautiful looking game.
It really is.
It's got a great, great art package. Everything from the cabinet to the head decals, the back glass,
mm-hmm.
Even the plastics. You know, the way it's designed as like a female form looks awesome.
Yeah, and if you've ever heard Python Angelo talk about it, he can't help but giggle a little bit because of the placement of those flashers that are on there.
And... I can't believe he got away with that.
But it is a great looking machine, and it's one of those games, like in my game room, it's actually on the end of the line, furthest from the door when you walk in, and it's one of those games that people don't walk to for a little while until the night kind of goes on. I mean, right as you walk in, Attack from Mars is in front of them, Simpsons is on the right, and Lord of the Rings on the left, and they kind of, you know, are into those because they're so... you know, recognizable themes and everything.
Mm-hmm.
But as people kind of spread out on the machines, eventually someone gets over on that Bride of Pinbot, and you kind of hear them talking like, hey, guys, come check out this game. Like, the face changes. And then once they notice the face change, they kind of giggle at the voice calls that are in the game, which are they're great. And then someone will eventually just get hooked, and they won't stop playing it. And then when they hit that shutdown sequence, everybody takes a turn and look at it. I mean, it's a major crowd pleaser, and it's a real shooter's game. I mean, the ramp entrances are small, mm-hmm. and it's a lot of fun. My wife would never let me get rid of this game. That's one that she really really likes. It's a great game.
It's number one on my wife's list as well. She really wants one. And when it's funny, when I say, you know, oh, I found a Johnny Mnemonic, I kind of want to bring it home. No, we don't have room. But I'm sure if I found a Bride of Pinbot, oh, yeah, let's make room. Yeah.
Yep, and I don't know what's going on, but supposedly the playfields were going to be remade. And there was that pre-order that was online. I'm still on that list.
Hmm.
But it's been a couple of years now. I don't know if it's actually ever going to materialize.
Is that through CPR?
No, it was through that German, not Mirko, but it's the other German playfield producer.
Okay.
I can't remember the name off the top of my head. That's how long it's been since I've heard anything from the project. But they produced one playfield and had a picture on the site, and it looked great. It would be nice. The one thing I would mention if you're going to look into buying one is definitely get the ramp protectors for it, because the ramps take a beating in this game. You'll definitely want those protectors, because with a busted ramp, the game is pretty much unplayable. So spend a few extra bucks to protect those ramps. The game plays quicker with them when it hits the ramp. So,
is that something that Cliffy offers?
I would check right now. Actually, I'm actually online.
I still got his site up here.
I think that you get him through Cliffy. And the last like notable feature that I wanted to mention is there's a ramp that the single ramp can send the ball to two places, depending on where it's entered. And the way it works is the ramp is grooved on each side. If the ball enters on the right side of the upper part of the ramp, which comes from a mini playfield, it'll end up on the skill shot, that you can redo the skill shot. If it enters the ramp from the left, from the mini top of the mini playfield, it'll end up back at your right flipper. And it's kind of a cool thing how they designed that. And
I'm sorry, Cliffy does offer them.
Okay, yeah, so I would say that's the number one most important mod with this game. There aren't a lot of mods out there, but that's one I think it's a must. You just can't ignore that. It'll save you a lot of money in the long run, because with as fast as the ball gets ripping around in this game, you will chip a ramp eventually if you don't get those protectors. So,
good advice.
Definitely get one.
Another cool thing is that a significant mod is somebody designed a DMD for the game.
Yeah. I've been watching that. I think that's pretty cool.
It is pretty cool. They went out and programmed a whole DMD for this. It's a solid state game, but it just had the alphanumeric displays.
Mm-hmm.
But they kind of ramped it up. So I don't know that it's for sale yet. They've been working on it for years. But and I'm sure, definitely a really cool labor of love.
I'm sure someone will correct me if I'm wrong, but this was the second to last alphanumeric game. Funhouse was the last, right?
You got me on that one.
Okay, well, this and Funhouse are the same set, board set, but I think this was the last one of the second to last WPC game that was alphanumeric, but someone might be able to correct me on that. That's just what I've heard. I will say that if there's one weakness to the game is the lack of modes, but it's such a fun and satisfying shooters game that I can overlook that. The DMD attempts to fix that a little bit by adding extra modes and stuff, but
cool.
Price-wise on this is a game that varies a lot, because some of them are just hammered to bits, and you can get those fairly cheap. I got mine for $1,100, and it's in great shape. I would just put the new playfield in because I like the game so much and I'd want it to be perfect, but I would say the price range on them is pretty big. I've seen them go as low as $700, and that's really low end. And I've seen them go up to like $1,800 or $1,900 for some really, really nice ones. There are a few diamond plate ones floating around out there, but very few.
So, all good to know.
But I hope you find yours, man.
Me too. I hope I find room for mine.
All right. Well, let's talk about the virtual table. And this is something that just barely came out. So what do you know about this one?
Very timely. Yesterday, Zen Pinball released the second full expansion for Marvel Pinball. It's the Vengeance and Virtues pack. Uh-huh. So there's four tables, one for Moon Knight, the X-Men, Thor, and Ghost Rider. So I had a chance to play them a little bit. I'm a big fan of Pinball FX2 and Zen Pinball, and it's available on both systems, PS3 and Xbox. And actually, Zen Pinball just came out for iOS. I know Marvel Pinball's on there. I don't know if they added this second pack on to iOS yet. But it's pretty cool. I mean, just playing yesterday, I don't know anything about Moon Knight. I've heard of the character, but that's about it. And that might be my favorite table. There's some really interesting shots, and the initial pack of Marvel tables sold really well. So they've been kind of putting them out one at a time every other month or so since then. But this is the first full boom. Here's four more tables. So with Moon Knight, I'm guessing somebody at Zen Pinball just really likes Moon Knight, because that's how we got a Blade table the first time around. Somebody just liked Blade, so they went with that license. I like the Vengeance, the Punisher types, Batman type characters. So I actually last night ordered a Moon Knight graphic novel just because the table was pretty cool. There's a mini game where you're actually fighting, like you have punch and block buttons with the flippers. There's also a stock trading mode, different shots trade different stocks, which is kind of different. The Ghost Rider table, I'm a big Ghost Rider fan, and it's pretty cool. It's very reminiscent of No Fear. It's got the same kind of upper loop shot. You jump a gap, and then if you hit the upper flipper, it'll go around that kind of loop. Same thing as No Fear, exact same shot. Mm-hmm. And the more times you hit it, of course, the faster it goes. The Zen pinball tables are cool because they kind of follow the rules of real pinball tables. Like, they have to jam this in here and this, and, you know, it's not all fantasy.
Right.
There is some of that, like some modes they'll freeze the ball or they might put a sticky substance. I know Captain America, there was a sticky adhesive that went on the table, slowed the ball down. Of course, you got these giant superhero figures fighting and jumping around. But the layouts of the table, they still use movable, you know, lanes, ramps, wireframe, that kind of stuff. They're really cool. They're definitely worth checking out. And the cool thing with these tables is you can download them and play them once. You can, like, demo the tables before you buy the pack. I think the whole pack was $10.
Yeah, it's 800 Microsoft points if you're on Xbox.
Yeah. So, $250 a table. With all the different features for tournaments and wizard modes and leaderboards and all that, I think it's worth it. Just because there's so many features. The physics, I prefer the physics of the Williams collection that Farsight did.
Right.
But it's not bad. It's a little faster and lighter than I think real pinball feels. But it's not bad. And they just cram a ton of features into all of these tables. I mean, Thor's got a dragon and an ice Atronach or whatever in there. There's a rainbow shot. Some of the tables have... I know, like, there's a paranormal table. It's kind of like Twilight Zone. It's got a Bonsai Run kind of back glass with a Bagatelle thing. They cram a lot into them. I don't know if you played the new tables, but...
I haven't played the new Marvel ones, but I've got that downloaded, and I'll give it a try. But I've played the other stuff available, and I do think it's a good platform. I like their business model where you buy kind of the core pack of stuff, and then you can just add additional tables. Mm-hmm. And definitely they put a lot into those tables, as you said. That's one of the thing with video pinball is it's crazy how many of them out there are actually more sparse than a real pinball machine.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, wait a minute, you don't have those costs involved of the physical yeah. stuff. Put more in it.
Yeah,
and these Pinball FX2 tables, they've done a good job at making sure that they use the space on the screen to put more and more things in there where they can.
They are crammed full. And there's also operators modes. So you can move the posts, you know, the outlane posts, or change the tilt or whatever. So you can kind of make it what you want.
So,
which is pretty fun.
For $10, would you recommend the Marvel pack? The new Marvel pack?
Oh, yeah, definitely. The only dog in the bunch, I'd say, is X-Men. There's not a whole lot going on. But I'm not very good at pinball, and maybe I just haven't played it enough to unlock everything it's got going on there. So I would definitely, just for the three that I've played played quite a bit in the last day, it's a lot of fun. You'll get your money's worth easily.
Great. I'm excited to try them out. I'm going to try them out after the show, actually. So
cool.
Looking forward to it. Well, we like to feature a place that you can go and play pinball in the real world and away from your basements each month. And this month we'll do one that's really well known in the pinball community, and it obviously deserves its recognition.
Mm-hmm.
It's a place we've both played, and it's actually out of state for both of us, and that is Lions Classic Pinball.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you probably played it kind of under the same circumstances I did, as heading out to the Rocky Mountain Pinball Showdown. But real quick, what are your thoughts about the place?
It's a small location, but it is packed with pinball. At the time, there was a Hercules there, and where do you get to play a Hercules? Out on location. It's probably one of few in the world. Of course, Hercules is a giant oversized game. Every game they have there is either an A-list title or an oddity that you have to play at least once.
Exactly.
There's no space wasted in there.
Yeah, I agree with that. And not only that, is I don't know what goes on out in Colorado, but everybody, and I guess it's pinball in general, but they're so dang friendly when you're out there playing. Mm-hmm. And they've really done a great job of keeping the machines in good shape. In fact, when I went out there, when I was playing, I didn't see any problem machines at all.
No, everything was up and working.
For those that haven't been out to it, I mean, I don't think many people plan their vacations around pinball, but if you're within an hour, couple hours, maybe even 3 hours of it in Colorado, stop in. It's worth spending, two, 3 hours in the place. Like I said, if it's a little detour on your trip, it's worth it. Obviously, if you're in the Colorado area and you haven't been to it, I don't know what's wrong with you, man. If you're listening to this show and you haven't been to Lions, you need to get out to it. And they also have a Lions Classic video there for kind of classic arcade games, if you're into that as well.
Mm-hmm. So, right around the corner, they've got a little arcade with a couple more pins and a lot of cool arcade games. I think I played a Gorf there.
Uh-huh.
That I'd never played before, but I thought it was pretty fun. This little, what are they called? Is it a cabaret? Kind of the miniature?
Yeah, the cabaret style.
Okay, that's what they had over there. Yeah, it's very cool. And they've got a Joust game, but not the Joust arcade. They've got a Joust pinball machine.
Yeah, and they have and for the arcade folk out there, I mean, I love the arcade games. They have a Discs of Tron, and for those yep. that collect, that's pretty rare. I know it's not a pinball machine, but even if you're a hardcore pinhead, you got to respect some of the best the arcade has to offer, and
yep.
Discs of Tron is one of those. So we'll put the link to their website on there, but
mm-hmm.
If you are headed out to the Rocky Mountain Pinball Showdown, and that's in April, it's kind of something you just have to do while you're out there. They usually have an event where you end up with a lot of people who are attending the show there at the same time, and it's a lot of fun. So
yeah, go a day early, fly in early. Run up to Lions, grab dinner,
yep,
and play some pinball. They used to have a themed room that was all like horror themed tables, like Creature and Elvira and Tales from the Crypt and whatnot. I think now they've got a rock and roll themed room.
Right, and I just checked real quick. They have 37 pinball machines. Yeah. So the oldest one is a 1961 Williams machine all the way up to the newest stuff. So I think the Rolling Stones is the newest machine they have. So,
and on the website, they actually keep it up to date. It was just updated about 2 weeks ago, a game list. So,
yeah,
very cool.
And they have a Bride of Pinbot. So
yes, they do.
Ties in there. So mm-hmm. Lions Classic Pinball, everybody. We'll, like I said, we'll have links to it on the show notes. So very good. Well, a couple of things before we wrap up. Just a couple of random stuff is you mentioned you had a friend who shipped in some machines, and
mm-hmm.
We both had a little experience on that. And you said you learned a few things. So
I did.
Share some knowledge with us.
I went to unpack the Adams family, and one of the bolts that holds the playfield on just fell out in my hand while we were kind of moving it around. So I said, okay, great. It must be loose inside. So yeah, make sure those playfield support bolts are tight, because it was a bear to get that bolt back on there and get the playfield up. Scratched up the inside of the cabinet a little bit. Not a huge deal, but it takes 2 seconds while the playfield's up just to make sure those bolts are tight.
Yeah.
If you don't know what I'm talking about, if you just feel the side of the cabinet, kind of right in the middle of the cabinet, you'll feel a bolt. Mm-hmm. And it sticks through to a little hinged area. On pretty much every pinball machine has some sort of pivot point for the playfield. Another one that kind of bit me was I had a game that I drove to get, and the head was down, and all the boards in the head were loose. They weren't tightened down, so it was just this mess of boards and wires just kind of jumbling around in there. Definitely want to tighten down the boards, because I ended up replacing, I think, 3 of those boards, or getting repairs on them anyway. Just because they were 1,000 miles bouncing around in my car and other people's cars and moving around, and it was a mess. It takes, again, it just takes a minute to tighten those screws. Big lesson learned there.
In addition to tightening the screws on the board, what I actually do is I take the translide off, or what I do is I take, it's like you could use bubble wrap, I guess, and just put some in between the translide and the boards themselves, just to give it a little bit of padding in there. So if anything starts to come loose, it kind of gets held against the back of it. Mm-hmm. And then I also put some more bubble wrap in front of the translite and wrap the head. And what it does is make sure that translite doesn't jiggle around in the channel, so you don't scratch up the edges of the translite there. But yeah, the boards are the main worry there. If one comes loose and starts bouncing around, you're going to lose capacitors and might even crack the boards. So.
That's a great idea. I'm selling a pin next week. I will stick some bubble wrap in the head.
Yep,
that's a great idea.
It's well worth it. But make sure you put a note for them to remove the bubble wrap out from behind the translite. Some people don't look.
Yeah.
Anything else that stuck out to you on that? I know I've got a few.
Those are just a couple quick ones from me. What did you have?
All right. One thing is I would suggest, and a lot of people don't think of it, is remove the shooter rod. The shooter rod pokes out just a few inches, as we know, but a couple of times I've had that take a hit and it's broken the housing around it, and the shooter rod comes out bent hard to one side. It's best just to take it out, throw it in a Ziploc bag, and put it in the coin box. Saves a little bit of grief there. And gives you more of a flat edge on the top. And then this is one that's debatable, but just kind of personal experience, I think it's better. When you're putting the machine on a pallet, there's two ways you can put it on. You can lay it down to where the bottom of the machine's flat, and you need a longer pallet to do it. Sometimes people will band two pallets together and lay it down so it has a lower profile. Now, yeah, there's more of the machine on the pallet, so it's going to shake less, but the problem is it takes up more square footage in the truck, so sometimes they'll try and stack on top of the machine. Mm-hmm. So they'll actually put something on top, which is not good. So if it comes down to, if you have that option, I still think it's better to stand it up on the back. Their machines, the way that their weight's distributed, they're pretty stable standing up anyway. And so I would prefer that, and then they're not going to try and stack stuff on top of it because it's already, 5.5 feet tall.
Yeah, that's a great idea, great point.
Other thing is, just go ahead and do this, is take a piece of cardboard, bend it in half so it kind of has like a, so it's kind of like a tent, and put that on the top when you're shrink wrapping it down or whatever, so it's got a pointy top rather than a flat edge, and again they won't try and stack on it because it's not flat. I've even put a soccer cone on it and wrapped that inside the mobile wrap just so it's not flat. Obviously there's kind of the common sense things when you remove the legs, wrap those individually then together so they don't rub each other the whole time. Mm-hmm. Take the pinballs out, put them in the coin box with the keys and the bolts and all of that. And one last thing is when you fold the head down on the machine, make sure that the head's not just resting on the side rails. Put some cardboard there, put some, you know, mobile wrap, whatever it might be, but make sure that it doesn't just rub on those side rails, or when they open that head up back up, it's going to have two wear spots right on the front of the head. So,
yeah, and if you're ratcheting the head down, don't go crazy because you'll bend those side rails. You'll dent them. They're dented constantly.
Yep.
Do you remove the safety latch on the back of the machine? Or the bottom, I guess, if you stand it on its back?
You know, I generally don't, but it wouldn't be a bad idea.
I don't either, but all the ones I've seen shipped, both myself and friends, have been, you know, have been removed. I don't think it's a bad idea either.
No, it's, I mean, anything that you can do to reduce damage,
yeah,
the person receive it's going to appreciate it. Yeah, it might mean have to screw a couple of that things back on or whatever, but they know it's just so that you got their machine to them safer, so... Mm-hmm. That's as far as I can think of. I'm sure people are going to probably like jumping up down like, mention this. So if you have tips for packing, let us know. The other thing is I actually sometimes throw bubble wrap inside the glass, underneath the glass, just so that the glass doesn't rattle as much and things on the play field don't get moving around. But that's kind of going to an extreme. But sometimes I worry so much that it just buys me a little peace of mind.
And secure the coin box before you stand it up. Especially if it's got loose parts in it.
I actually take the coin box out and set it on top of the machine.
Yeah,
and
that's a better idea.
But definitely. Anything that has a possibility of moving, take it out. Take mm-hmm. the tilt bob out. Put that in the coin box.
Tape the keys down pretty good. We could go on and on.
Yep. So, I take the keys out, put them in an envelope, and tape it right to the outside. So, mm-hmm. We'd love to hear what you guys have out there. And if you have any horror stories that, you know, maybe it's therapeutic to tell of what's happened to your machines, feel free to let us know. And we can obviously think of ways that it could have been avoided. I mean, sometimes you just might have a forklift operator who's having a bad day. And that's when you hope you have insurance. Buy the $10 insurance, whatever it costs. Yes. That's the number one tip, I guess. So, as far as feedback goes, yeah, we want your moving tips. But a couple of other things we'd like to hear from you guys is we want to hear suggestions on what machines you want us to talk about. We got a couple emails this month, and we have some suggestions, so we'll consider them. This month we chose randomly.
Mm-hmm.
But if there's stuff you guys want us to talk about, we'll get to them. If you are producing something for a pinball machine and you would like to lend it to us to review, we'll send it back if you don't want to just let us have it. But we'd love to review whatever you've got. And just, you know, if you want to get in touch with us and we can provide you addresses to send stuff, we'd love to review what you've got, especially if it's a new product you're thinking of releasing. And we'd love to hear from you. Contact information will be on the post and Facebook page. You can kind of find all that out. But we do have one review, and it's a product we both used before mm-hmm. Dawn. And that would be the Cliffy's Colored Sleeves. And why don't you what do you like about them?
I love them. They add color to the game. They add a little more fun. They're relatively cheap. I like the rubber that they're made out of. It's like a synthetic plastic, I guess, more so than a rubber.
Yeah, so it's a little harder. Like,
yeah, it's a little harder. It's still, the ball still bounces, of course. But it doesn't flake off like a typical rubber does. It stays pretty solid. And it's also pretty easy to clean. They do get dirty, but you just kind of wipe it off with some Novus and you're good to go.
Yeah, that's the best part about it is they don't scuff up as much as the regular rubber ones do.
Mm-hmm. They come in a variety of colors. I think maybe like a dozen different colors, 10 different colors. I actually keep spares on hand just to throw in different games. It's like, oh, you know, I want to try this here, that there. They're affordable. It's just a great idea. I like that it kind of it keeps my machine a little cleaner and a little more entertaining to look at. And I mm-hmm. think I put them in all of my games.
Yeah, I haven't quite ran down and put them in all my games yet. But the ones I've put them in, they definitely look better. And there, like you said, there are enough color options available that you can get the right colors for your game. They're only $1 each, so pretty cheap way to color up your game.
Mm-hmm.
The one thing I have noticed about it, the ball doesn't generate as much spin off of them as the rubber ones. It's probably just an issue with the grip, but it's not that noticeable. Some people may notice. I haven't really noticed too much, but I think they're overall better than the standard rubber sleeves.
Yeah, so. I agree. I'm kind of excited about, again, I keep talking about Wizard of Oz, but they're using green rubbers.
Uh-huh.
And I'm kind of wondering if it's going to be a similar material or something that's not a typical white rubber, maybe closer to a black rubber. I don't know. We'll see. But I like that they're using different materials out there to kind of change the game. Right. Just like the new, the colored flipper rubbers are a different kind of rubber. And I love the way those look. Those feel way different. But I guess that's a topic for a different show. But I just like that guys are coming out there, you know, they're thinking through it and coming up with some different ideas. It's great.
Yep. So they're available pretty much in all the parts online stores. But yeah, we'll link you guys straight to the Cliffy's page. Like I said, they're $1 a piece. And they're great. I like them quite a bit. Last month, we talked about the colored nuts. And we're going to be giving some of those away. And we have our winner. We'll be contacting them. But we do have our winner for that. And we're going to give away some of these sleeves. And what do you think we ought to do to have people win these, Don?
I'd love for them to just suggest... What did we talk about? Suggesting a machine for our game of the month?
Yeah, that's simple.
Feature machine? Just, hey, I want you guys to talk about X machine. And you're entered into the contest to win some colored sleeves.
Yep. And we'll pick one person at random, even if we don't talk about that person's machine. We just, you know, we're looking for the feedback. So you don't have to have your machine chosen to win. You just got to shoot us a suggestion and you're entered, and we'll send you a handful of them. And you can even tell us what colors you want when we contact you. So for our winner this month, you'll be hearing from us probably before the show goes up. So you'll hear about yourself winning after you've already told you've won. So.
Did we pick a winner from our last contest for the colored nuts? Did we want to mention them on air?
Well, we got to get in touch with them first to make sure they accept it.
Oh, okay.
I don't think there'll be any problem.
There.
Yeah, I don't think there'll be a problem accepting it, but we'll give them a mention on the Facebook page. So.
All right.
But, well, Don, do you have anything else you wanted to go over? Or?
No, I think that's it. You can, of course, you can reach us at thepinballpodcast.com. I think it's pinballpodcast@gmail.com, at pinballpodcast
on Twitter. Yep.
On Twitter, yeah. And then the Pinball Podcast community on Facebook.
Yep, facebook.com/pinballpodcast.
We love to hear from you guys.
Yep, and also, if you do a show or anything like that, we'd love to talk about you guys. Just as we featured the monthly zine this month. Mm-hmm. If you got a show or something, let us know about it. We'd love to talk about you guys. So
yeah, if you run a game room or an arcade or whatever, you got a location in mind, we'd love to hear about that as well.
And again, reminder, send us your favorite locations to go and play. So yeah. But I think that about wraps it up. Excuse me. Voice is going out.
All right, let's call it.
But thanks everybody for listening, and we'll be back next month with another show.
Welcome to the Billionaires Club.